And as the news seems to be tending towards this being a long crisis, we pray, O Lord, that we will yet have a renewed vision, understanding, and experience of you in Christ as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In your name we pray. Amen. If we could just go back for a moment, Grant, to the we'll come to that one in a moment. Just an introduction, a quote from Rose Targwee. My prayer is that his killers will get to know this Jesus I know. I do forgive them, and I will pray that the Lord saves their souls. Rose Targwee recently said these words after her husband, Pastor Matthew Targwee, had been killed by Fulani militants in Nigeria. Rose is just 27 years old, mother of Esther, age 6, and Joy, age 2. She was pregnant when Matthew was murdered. The Jesus I know. There are different ways, aren't there, of knowing Jesus, different responses to who he was, who he is. I guess Rose is able to be so gracious to those who've destroyed her family because she truly knows Jesus, loves him. Knows, loves Jesus the man, the extraordinary, wonderful character, person of Jesus, our pattern, our example. And knows, loves Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, he who embodies God's presence and who permeates throughout every atom and molecule of all things that are made, the Christ in all creation. Rose knows Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16, and avows, in spite of her grief and risk to herself and her family, to continue her husband's work to which they were both called by God. And in this gospel passage today, the question is asked of the disciples of us, who do you say that I am? Like Peter in the reading, like Rose today, may we have God's grace to know and respond that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And like them, may we have God's grace to go on from our confession of faith to doing our part in building the church, his church, Christ's church, against whom the gates of Hades will not prevail. And now if we could have that slide, please, Grant. We celebrated last week Jesus, Yeshua, particularly in his humanity, his wonderful, full humanity. Such a complete, compelling, unique person, you couldn't make him up. We celebrated his great zest for life, hill walking, partying, out on the lake, caring, travelling, eating and drinking, rejecting wealth, emphasising simplicity, a life formed in times of solitude and prayer. Utterly courageous, not in the machismo way of the fighter, but in the far more difficult way of moral resolution and bearing of suffering. Jesus the man moved to tears and anger, he who sleeps and is wearied. I suggested last week that Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon for a Mediterranean holiday, but along the way there he has an encounter with a local woman that affirms his compassion, love, life are for all people. Today in the reading, Jesus has again travelled, this time to Caesarea Philippi on the southwest slopes of Mount Hermon, about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. All things written down in our history, all things that relate to the geography of the world we know today. And again, this place of Caesarea Philippi has great significance. The next slide, please. The site of Caesarea Philippi had been an ancient centre of worship of the Canaanite god Baal. The Greeks had turned it into a shrine of Pan, the goat man god of fertility. Then Philip, son of Herod the Great, rebuilt the place and named it Caesarea after the Emperor Augustus. And never one to be modest, Philippi in his own honour. Augustus, also known as Octavian, was the adopted son of Julius Caesar, who was ascribed to be divine. Augustus then was entitled Son of God. I hope it's becoming clear the huge significance of this place, of why Jesus chose Caesarea Philippi for what would be the first full revelation of who he is. This place was saturated with worship of idols, men, empire, political power. Jesus comes with the disciples to have declared that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is above all powers of idols and men. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The next slide, please. It is Simon Peter who is the first to see Jesus for who he truly is. Jesus has gained such popularity, and note that many must be asking who he is. Apparently, some think he is John the Baptist, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets, or Elijah, whose return had been prophesied in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Some may have thought Jesus was literally that person. More generally, he would surely have been seen to be like in the mode of such key figures, all spokesmen for God. But in all that Peter has seen of Jesus, the penny drops as he realizes that here is someone much greater than a spokesman for God. Here is Jesus the Christ, the promised Messiah, divine Son of the living God. As we saw last week with the Canaanite woman, others have recognized that Jesus is special. The Canaanite woman called him, Jesus, Lord, Son of David. Similarly, a blind man earlier had been healed by Jesus and he called him Son of David. There is some recognition of association with Jesus being Messiah. Later, the crowds on Palm Sunday would have a similar limited understanding. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And over the events of the Easter weekend, a centurion will declare that Jesus was a Son of God. Matthew 27:54. But Peter's recognition is that Jesus is so much more than even these acclamations ascribe. Jesus is truly the Alpha and the Omega, the way, the truth, and the life, the embodiment of God. And of course, this changes everything. Limited confessions about who Jesus is, such as those made by the Canaanite woman and the blind man, they were good and they brought healing. But there is obviously a huge amount missed if you simply see Jesus as a good guy who can help you out. Similarly, the crowds on Palm Sunday and the centurion who was moved to see that Jesus is a Son of God would still, yet with that limited understanding, be left in their earthbound perceptions with lack of hope and meaning. As they failed to see before them, God made visible in Jesus. It is only when we see Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, that there is true meaning and purpose and sure hope. Only in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, can there be unlocking of the mysteries of our existence. Jesus replies to Peter, verse 17, that he is blessed in this moment of epiphany. The most profound of insights of who Jesus is has come from God. Peter, in how he had lived and followed Jesus, was able to receive this divine revelation. Peter still had an awful lot to go on learning. He was very limited in his understanding of what it meant that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just a few verses, if we read on through the Matthew passage, you'll see that Peter goes from hero to zero. After this glorious moment of disclosure and affirmation, Peter is thoroughly rebuked by Jesus for challenging him in saying he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. Therefore, from being lauded for divine inspiration, Peter is put down for speaking the words of the devil. Get behind me, Satan, says Jesus. Peter will go on making many mistakes, most poignantly in his very understandable denial of Jesus in the courtyard of the house where he was being held after his arrest. Making mistakes is part of this life for the Christian as for anybody else. But in spite of his weaknesses, Peter knows enough and acts correspondingly. To truly live a life of immense worth and integrity as he follows Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's actually at this point that he becomes known as Peter. Previously, he was Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus gives him the name as it means rock. It is on Peter, his confession of Jesus, the epiphany of recognizing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the rock on which the church will be built and is being built on. The next slide, please. The church then absolutely integral to God's purposes in Jesus. But Jesus tells us the church is so vital to God, it will not die. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Hades meaning death. The church will not be swallowed up in death. And that, of course, is a ludicrous thing to say if Jesus is just a special guy. But in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, we see the promise of the, we see the truth of the promise in the vibrancy of the church around the world. Jesus tells him in those tells us in those verses, in the next verses, that in him we have the keys to life. In him we can bind evil and loosen lives and situations to bring forward the flourishing of the kingdom of God. Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us what we are to be and do as church together. And the verses there are on the screen for those who can see the screen. To go brief, just to name them, to brief, tell you as they are. Jesus tells us early on in Matthew's gospel that we are to be fishers of men, 4:19. We are to be salt and light, chapter 5, verse 13, 16. We're to preach the good news of the kingdom, chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. We are to make disciples of all nations, chapter 28, 18 to 20. And be encouraged then that as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, we do these things together as church. We do make a difference for Christ in schools and workplaces, amongst friends and family. In this village and throughout every town, village and hamlet of the country, the presence of Christians, the church, binds evil and loosens the kingdom of God. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, has promised that this is so. There is, of course, though, much that we need to think through and act upon to be truly part of building Christ's church in this place, especially in this time of corona restrictions. We have to consider and work through how we are doing these things. How are we being church? How are we fishing for men and women in this place? How are we preaching the good news of the kingdom? How are we making disciples? And our focus surely needs to be not just Westcott, but Christ's church beyond, particularly with our brothers and sisters in the churches of the Surrey Hills. At the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anyone that he is the Christ. The time was not right. There was still much to do in teaching and preparation. For Jesus the Christ to fully, finally confront the idolatrous powers in his death on the cross, to truly, fully be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But after the resurrection of Christ, all are to know. All are to know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are then different ways of knowing Jesus, different responses to who he was, who he is. How do you respond to him asking of you, who do you say that I am? Rose Tugway, in all of her graciousness and love, knows, like St. Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This confession is the basis, the reason for the church. It is the hope for the world, the keys to understanding, the power to bind evil and loosen the kingdom of God. I pray that we have God's grace to know and respond that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may we have God's grace to go on from our confession to doing our part in building the church, Christ's church, against whom the gates of Hades will not prevail. Amen.